Ever notice how the most educated people sometimes hold the most extreme views? A fascinating study revealed that individuals with higher scientific literacy weren't more moderate about climate change. They were actually more likely to hold extreme positions in either direction. This counterintuitive finding exposes a fundamental flaw in how we think. Intelligence doesn't protect us from bias, it often amplifies it. We use our smarts to defend what we already believe rather than discover what's actually true. The real barrier to clear thinking isn't lack of knowledge. It's our inability to say three simple words, "I don't know." We confuse facts, scientifically verifiable truths, with beliefs, things we hold true without easy verification. This distinction becomes stark when examining how 84.5% of Maltese believe in the devil compared to just 9.1% of Latvians, or how expert predictions routinely fail. Political forecasters in Philip Tetlock's 20-year study performed barely better than dart-throwing chimps, achieving 47.4% accuracy. Even Nobel laureate Paul Krugman embarrassingly claimed the internet's impact on the economy has been no greater than the fax machines. Why do brilliant people make such terrible predictions? Because the personal cost of saying, "I don't know," exceeds the cost of being wrong. When Harold Camping predicted the world would end in May 2011, causing widespread panic, he faced zero consequences when his prophecy failed. Bold predictions bring huge rewards if correct, while failures are quickly forgotten. Most people define problems based on popular perception rather than careful analysis. In education reform, we obsessively blame teacher quality when evidence suggests home-based factors, parental involvement, early childhood learning, have far greater impact. We focus on what personally bothers us rather than true root causes. Takuru Kobayashi revolutionized competitive eating by asking, "How do I make hot dogs easier to eat?" rather than, "How do I eat more?" He broke dogs in half, separated them from buns, dunked buns in warm water, and created the Kobayashi shake to create stomach room. By refusing to acknowledge the existing record as legitimate, he doubled it, proving artificial barriers limit achievement more than physical ones. Understanding root causes sometimes requires looking back generations. Protestant areas in Germany earn about 1% more than Catholic areas, a pattern tracing to the 1517 Reformation. Italian towns' civic participation reflects whether they were free city-states in the Middle Ages. African conflicts stem from colonial borders that split ethnic groups. History doesn't just inform the present, it actively shapes it. When Barry Marshall found bacteria in ulcer patients' stomachs, conventional wisdom dismissed it. The environment was supposedly too acidic. While medical professionals ignored this contradiction, Marshall asked a beautifully simple question: what in the heck are these bacteria doing here? His childlike willingness to ask stupid questions revealed ulcers weren't spiritual failures, but blown gaskets, easily fixed once properly understood. Children ask seemingly silly questions with relentless curiosity, seeing things without preconceptions, like the child who noticed the emperor had no clothes. While big thinkers get admiration, thinking small is often more productive. Big problems remain unsolved because they're too complex. Small questions tackle manageable pieces and trigger actual change. Economists discovered that providing $15 eyeglasses to Chinese schoolchildren improved learning by 25 to 50%, a small intervention with enormous impact. Yet these childlike traits evaporate in most adults. In politics, academia, and business, appearing to have fun seems forbidden, as if it indicates you aren't serious. But there's no correlation between appearing serious and being good at what you do. Research shows raw talent is overrated. People achieve excellence through endless practice, nearly impossible without enjoying your work. Companies like Google and Pixar deliberately create playful environments, proving that maintaining a child's sense of wonder leads to remarkable achievements. When 3-year-old Amanda backslid on potty training, her economist father offered M&Ms as incentives. It worked brilliantly until she gamed the system, making minimal deposits multiple times daily to maximize candy. Within 4 days, she had the most finely tuned bladder in history. This reveals a fundamental truth. People respond to incentives, but not always as expected. Financial incentives reshape our bodies. The average American adult weighs 25 pounds more than decades ago because food costs dropped from 13.4% to 6.5% of disposable income. Non-financial incentives can be equally powerful. Robert Cialdini found that while Californians ranked environmental protection as their top reason for conserving energy, the most effective message was, "Join your neighbors," the incentive they'd ranked last. Brian Mullaney transformed philanthropy with smile trains, once-and-done approach. Donors could give once and never be solicited again. Though conventional wisdom deemed this insane, it doubled first-time donor rates and increased average donations by 46%. Success came from understanding what truly motivates people, not what they claim motivates them. King Solomon and David Lee Roth mastered game theory through seemingly odd tactics. Solomon threatened to split a disputed baby. The true mother immediately surrendered her claim, revealing herself. Van Halen's No Brown M&Ms rider wasn't rock star excess, but strategy. Brown M&Ms signaled promoters might have skipped critical safety specs, prompting thorough equipment checks. Both created separating equilibriums, conditions where liars and truth-tellers naturally reveal themselves. Zappos offers new hires $2,000 to quit during training, identifying uncommitted employees cheaply. Medieval ordeals had defendants grab red-hot iron. Church records show 2/3 were exonerated through priestly rigging. Priests manipulated outcomes to protect those they believed innocent, making guilty defendants often confess rather than face judgment. The elegance lies in making people sort themselves through their own choices, rather than forcing you to judge them. Churchill's never give in speech inspires millions, yet strategic quitting often proves wiser. Three forces trap us in failing pursuits: cultural messaging equating quitting with failure, the sunk cost fallacy, and ignoring opportunity costs. At Intellectual Ventures, failure is celebrated. When their self-sterilizing surface proved economically unfeasible after $30,000 in research, they held an actual wake, complete with cake, casket, and tombstone. Research by Professor Carson Roche shows people who quit unattainable goals experience fewer depressive symptoms, lower cortisol, and better immune function. The Challenger disaster illustrates ignoring warnings. Despite engineers' concerns about cold weather damaging O-rings, NASA launched anyway, killing everyone aboard. Psychologist Gary Klein recommends pre-mortems, having teams imagine failure beforehand and identify potential causes. The authors share their own strategic quits. One abandoned professional golf after losing to a 14-year-old, then left prestigious political economics for crime economics. The other quit a signed record deal with Arista Records, preferring writing and family life. Even Churchill was history's greatest quitter, frequently changing parties and positions. Perhaps this pattern of strategic quitting built his fortitude to stand firm when it truly mattered. Most limitations are self-imposed mental prisons, built from conventional wisdom, fear of embarrassment, and refusal to admit ignorance. The World Cup kicker avoiding the center despite 60% success rates? Trapped by fear. The retail executive skipping advertising tests? Trapped by institutional incentives. The competitive eater stuck at plateaus? Trapped until someone redefined the problem. What mental prisons constrain you? The world's toughest problems, education, healthcare, poverty, persist not because solutions don't exist, but because thinking remains conventional. Khan Academy revolutionized education by questioning classroom models. Microfinance transformed poverty alleviation by challenging lending assumptions. Facing an impossible challenge, the solution likely requires not more resources or expertise, but different thinking. That shift begins with three difficult words: I don't know. This admission isn't weakness. It's the gateway to genuine understanding. Your most powerful tool isn't knowledge. It's willingness to question everything, experiment boldly, and think like a freak.